Good afternoon. I don't know why. Good morning. I walked into Kmart the other day. You know, the lady that's on the door? She's so lovely. She's the same lady all the time. I was so missing our Samoan ladies, and this is very sad. That's okay. God bless them wherever they are today. And I said to her, good morning. She looked at me real funny, and then I realized it was like 1 p.m. and it wasn't morning anymore. So has anyone ever done that? No. Yeah, just me. Cool. Congratulations, Springboks. I don't know. Oh, yeah, Joseph, come on. Umpho, yeah. Oh, someone's booing up the front. We'll pray for her later. It's fine. It's going to be fine. So welcome if you're visiting. We are doing a series called At the Movies, which we do once per year just for a few weeks of the year. And the idea is because last week it was just packed and a bunch of new people and people got saved and whatnot, we just follow up our One Day Sunday every year with At the Movies so that when your friends come, they're not like, oh, church is really weird. They're like, church is really fun. And how good is that? It's so good. I think church is fun every week, just for the record. Cool. So the movie, please don't send me emails regarding your judgment of this movie during the week. The movie we're going to look at today is How to Train Your Dragon. Has anyone seen it? Have you guys seen it? It's so fun. I love it. The first time we ever watched this movie was Andrew's brother Frank. Did he buy it? I think he bought the movie for our kids, but our kids were still quite young. And, you know, if you're a tiny kid and there's like a dragon and you think he's going to be bad, but he's not bad, spoiler alert, he's a good dragon. And our kids were like, had nightmares for weeks. So so look out, Sammy Saunders. No, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. Cool. So let's go for clip number one and we will go from there. Holy Spirit, speak this morning. Amen. So good. I love it. So Hiccup is a Norse teenager and he's from the island of Burke. Everyone say Burke. We're fighting dragons. It's just a way of life. It's just what we do. It's just what we've always done. This is what we do. And his progressive views and his weird sense of humor kind of make him a bit of a misfit, despite the fact that he's actually the chief's son. So the chief is this big, muscly, like massive guy, and Hiccup is this tiny. They say that he could be a toothpick for one of the dragons, is one of the comments. And so he's tossed into this dragon fighting school and he endeavors to prove himself as a true Viking and get a girlfriend when he thinks he's going to shoot down a dragon and kill a dragon. But he actually befriends a dragon and the dragon is injured and the dragon's name is Toothless. And he realizes he has a chance to plot a new course for his people's future, different to the way they've always done it. And so how amazing. Look to the person next to you, say, it's time to plot a new course. Amazing. Did you mean it? I hope you meant it. So we're going to look at the context within which this like clunky, like soft-hearted, brains over brawn, inventive, perceptive kid, he kind of finds himself in this context. So here we go, next clip. Oh, have you ever felt like that? You're just in the wrong environment. You just feel like you don't fit. Anyone? I have felt like that at times. I love how he says, most people would leave, but we're Vikings. We have stubbornness issues. So my question this morning is, what is Burke for you? What is Burke for you? What is the way it's always been? The thing I love about this movie and Hiccup's journey from who he thought he needed to be to who he actually was made to be and built to be, I just love it so much. And maybe you just relate a little bit. The way things have always been done in your family. Anyone? I remember a bunch of things from my childhood. We just have always done it this way. We don't know why. If someone asked us, why do you guys do this? We'd be like, I don't know. My mum just did this and her mum did that and her mum did that. The way it's always been. So what is that for you? Maybe for you, just going to go deep real quick, so prepare yourselves. Maybe for you it is perfectionism. This is the way I've always done it. This is the way our family has always done it. This is the way we have dealt with our pain, right, to be perfect. That was me. That was me, you guys. Perfectionism was my thing. If I can be better, maybe everyone will love me. What I know now is that none of that matters, because who I belong to matters more than what I do. Maybe that's for you. Maybe alcoholism or gossiping or workaholism, anyone. Maybe that is the thing that you've done to like, this is how I will make myself feel better. This is how things will feel better. If I just work hard, if I just have another drink, like whatever it is, whatever it is. We all have our things. And maybe your stubbornness and your fear is getting in the way of you deciding, actually, I know we've always done it this way, but I'm going to choose to live differently. What a brave decision. What a brave decision. So in Peter Scazzario's book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, if you haven't read it, I've got it, you can borrow it. This is what he writes about his own journey. The pain of living a life that was not God's will for me finally was greater than the pain of change. It took years of hurting to get me to listen to God and allow myself to ask the question, am I living faithfully to the life God has called me to live? Not how we've always done it, faithfully to how God has called me to live. The famous Hasidic story of a rabbi remains so important to us today. When this rabbi was an old man, he said, in the coming world, they will not ask me, why were you not Moses? They will ask me, why were you not Susa? Changing the way that we live for 20 or 40 or 60 years requires nothing short of a revolution. He goes on and writes, if you move forward, however, you will find that God is with you and behind you, his grace is sufficient and his power is accessible, and the unknown before you is really like poking a hole through jello. How good is that? What a good picture. To follow Jesus takes courage. It does. But we don't need to be afraid. Jesus is more invested in your healing and your wholeness than probably you are, than probably I am in my own. He's so good and so kind. So as we move along in the story, Hiccup, under this tremendous pressure to do what we've always done and be what we've always been, in the hopes of getting a girlfriend, he catches a dragon and he wounds it, but he can't bring himself to do the thing that we've always done and kill the dragon. He just can't do it. It's not within him to do it. He looks in the dragon's eyes and it, like you have to watch the movie if you haven't seen it. It's so beautiful. He just can't do it. The dragon's just as afraid as he is. So what we've always done isn't going to work in this situation. Have you ever been in a situation like that? It's a new situation to you and you're like, oh, well, my dad would have done this or said this or reacted this way or dealt with his pain this way. But I just can't. I don't think that I can keep doing this thing the way that we've always done it. It's not good for me. It's not healthy. God has a better way. Did you know God has a better way than the way you've always done it? He does. He's so wonderful. Jesus is the best. We say it all the time. He's the best. He's the best. So Hiccup goes into the woods and he tries to find this dragon that he's wounded. He's not been able to kill it. And he begins to try and understand the gentle beast. Next clip. Do you feel like he's more of a cat or more of a dog? Cat. I thought so too. Interesting. Cool. So after Hiccup makes friends with this adorable, friendly dragon, he goes back to the village, the village has no idea that this is going on. He goes back to the village and he starts reading through all of the villagers, like their books and their records of what they know about dragons. And all of it, it's all bad. They're dangerous, don't approach them, blah, blah, blah. All of it is bad. And Hiccup's reading these books and he realizes, oh, but that just doesn't match up with my experience. So what culture is saying is different to my personal experience. So this is misinformation about the dragon and Hiccup's struggle to fit in. It just makes me think of the issue of identity, say to the person next to you, identity. And I think that everything that we know as a society about identity is actually wrong. If we bring Jesus into the equation, all of the things that we say are necessary to be somebody are actually not. Jesus tells a different story about our identity. So much of our identity is curated online now. And that's cool. If you're into that, it's awesome. I love seeing your photos. Please, like, and send me all the memes. Like, I love it. It's great. But we think that our identity is what we put out there for other people so that they can evaluate whether we are a conscientious contributor to society, whether we're cool enough, whether we're wearing the right things, all of this kind of thing. And our identity is based on temporary things. How ridiculous. Why are we doing this to ourselves? How crazy. What you wear, what you look like, how much money you have, how many likes you get, whether your house is Pinterest worthy. The only person I know whose house is Pinterest worthy is the Fittler's house. So you should definitely go visit. Yeah. I was there the other day. I'm not lying. We think that our status, our job, even our sexual desires, these things, they change like the wind, and we think that we are clever and right to build our identities on them. What? No, Jesus has a better way for us. Again, Peter Scazzera writes about Jesus in the wilderness being tempted in Matthew 4. Does anyone know that story? If you don't know it, go ahead and read Matthew 4 during the week. And he talks about Jesus being tempted to give up the mission to rescue humanity. This is an important mission, right? It's an important mission. And he notes the way that the enemy presses Jesus to give up on this mission. And there's three different areas relating to identity, which I'm just going to tell you about really quickly. So read through it this week. Firstly, false identity number one that the enemy tries to push. This is Jesus, the savior of the world, but the enemy's a little bit, he's not that smart, so he figures I might as well give it a go. False identity number one, I am what I do. I am what I do. He says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to turn into bread. So Jesus had really, up until this point, he'd done nothing for 30 years. He'd not begun his ministry. He seemed, other people thought he was a weirdo. Some people thought he was a bit of a loser. No one believed him yet that he was the Son of God. He was hungry. What contribution had he made to the world? Our culture asks us this same question, doesn't it? How have you demonstrated your usefulness? What do you do? When we meet someone, we say, oh, what do you do? How crazy. Not tell me about yourself. I want to know who you are. What do you do? We put so much value on that. What do you do? Most of us consider ourselves worthwhile if we have scored significant successes at work, within our family, at school, maybe at church, and maybe in our relationships. And it asks us, culture asks us to find our worth and value outside of God's love for us in Christ. It's a strategy bound to fail. It's a strategy bound to fail. False identity number two, I am what I have. I am what I have. Matthew 4 verse 8, we read, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed Jesus all of the kingdoms of the world and all of the splendor. And he said, I'll give you all this if you bow down and worship me. I'll give it all to you. The enemy basically said to Jesus, look around you at what everyone else has. You don't have anything. How can you think that you're somebody? How will you survive? The enemy spoke fear and played on his source of security. My culture, my family of origin, and my flesh tell me that only my possessions and talent and applause from other people are the things that will be sufficient for my security. It's a lie. It's not true. Jesus models the surrender of his will to the love of the Father as the true anchor for who he is. The love of the Father is our true anchor. This is the true anchor for our identity. And if you have ever doubted it this morning, oh, I'm not this, I'm not that, I can't do this well, whatever it is, let's just realize the lie for what it is and just remember how loved we are by God. Jesus paid a high price, and it wasn't so that we could run around and try and prove ourselves in inferior ways. He paid a high price. He loves you. And our identity, your identity, is found in him before anything else. False identity number three, I am what others think. Anyone? No, it's just me. You're in church, don't lie, this morning. We have all felt that pressure from time to time, what others think about me, like how I feel about what others think about me. I don't even know what others think about me. I'm making it up in my head. And then responding to what I think they think about me, but I don't even know. And the truth is, people are not thinking about you. They're actually not that much, so just don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Matthew 4 verse 5, it says, the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple And he said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Because the Bible says he will command his angels concerning you. So the enemy is like, if you do this and then God rescues you, people will know that you are who you say you are. What a tricky guy. He tried to convince Jesus to throw himself down from the highest point so that people would believe that Jesus was really God. Most of us have a higher premium on what others think than we probably realize. But true freedom comes when we no longer need to be somebody special in somebody else's eyes because we already know who we are. We already know we're loved by God. It's easier said than done, but it is nonetheless true. So the lesson here, thank you, Hiccup, thank you, the dragons, thank you, Jesus, is that while culture dictates to us one identity, it's what we do, it's what we have, it's who others think we are, God turns this concept upside down. Through Jesus, he has crowned us, he has crowned you today as you are sitting in your seat here in ACC in Armidale. He has crowned you with a new identity. And I'm so glad. Listen to this from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think we have it on a slide. It says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though once we regarded Christ this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. We've not translated this great over the centuries, but that's okay. The new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. The Message paraphrase, just to help us, says it like this. Because of this decision, this being that Jesus has leveled the playing field for everybody and given everybody a new identity, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and we got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside and we see, and what we see is that everyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start and is created new. The old life is gone. A new life emerges. Look at it. All this comes from God who has settled the relationship between us and him and has called us to settle our relationships with one another. Whole other sermon, but thank you, Jesus, right? So there is a little bit of debate over the precise meaning of this passage. So whether it means just new creation in general, new creation initiated, or whether it means we are, as individual people, we are made new in Christ, I think both are accurate readings. But regardless, what we do know is that when we decide to follow Jesus, we are now participating in God's amazing grand vision for renewal for the world. And for your own life, something new. And I think that when Paul is writing this, what he is probably thinking back to is Isaiah 43, where Isaiah says, do not remember the former things. Do you know this passage? Or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Beautiful, beautiful. So just like this new day from Isaiah informed Paul's identity, the coming of Christ, this profound singular event, this is what forms our identity as the new people of God. That's who we are, the community of believers who live within the dawn of a new reality, a new way, not how my family has always done it, not how my family has always coped, a new way. God has given us a new way, and we praise God for that. Oh. Look to the person next to you, say, don't cry. Great. Thanks, Trav. Do you know that being a follower of Jesus is the only framework as far as the value of a person which says you don't have to work for your identity? You don't have everything, everyone else, everything else, every other religion is saying this. You need to curate this. You need to work for this. Following Jesus is the only, Jesus is the only one who's like, I will give you an identity. I will give you a new identity. Nothing that we could do for ourselves, I will give it to you. It's for free. How amazing. Jesus is the best. Culture will call us out when we do not conform to it, and it will label us as failures, but God calls us upward, and he calls us by our true identities. Sons and daughters belonging to him, truly known, every part of you, all the ugly parts, all the good parts, truly known, deeply loved regardless and born on purpose. This is the identity that we have in Christ. Amazing. Amazing. That's why we read in Romans chapter 12, don't conform to the pattern of the world. That's the old way of doing things. I've got a better way. This is the new way. This is the better way. So all of you Sunday school, who went to Sunday school when you were a kid? A lot of us. You're thinking, I've heard all of this before, right? No? Maybe you're just really holy and you're like, yes, God, amazing. I'm having a new revelation. I hope that's the case. I hope that's what it is. But because you've heard this a million times before, sometimes it can grow a little bit old, can't it? Oh, I just pray that we would not allow that to happen with this truth. Let it not grow old. Let it not grow old. Because here's the thing about theology, and I love theology. I will read all of the theological texts. If you give me one, I'll read it in a week. I'll give it back to you and I'll send you a summary of what I read. Like, I love it so much, okay? But if theology isn't changing you, if it's not changing you, if what you're reading and what you are understanding in your brain about God is not transforming you in your spirit and on the inside, then it's just information. Let's not be those people. Let's not be the people who know everything about God and we know what God says about us, but we don't allow it to transform us. Come on. The world needs people who are transformed. So that when we do meet them, we can say, yes, this is what Jesus has done for me. I don't just know it in my head. It's not just Jesus loves me for the Bible tells me so. It's because I've been transformed and I've had an encounter with God. And I can't deny this reality. Jesus has made me new. Amazing. Let's be those people. So much better than come to church because you're a dirty sinner and you'll go to hell. Like, how much is transformation? Just so much better. So much better. We don't deny the reality that God will judge us. And there's a whole, I don't have enough time to tell you about this concept of judge when we read that God will judge us. It's true. I'm just going to go there. I will run out of time. That's okay. When we read that the idea of God as a judge, the picture that we must have in our minds is not someone who will condemn us and like destroy us and like, Trav, I hate you. You're rubbish. You're out of here forever. Like, what? I don't think that. I love you, Trav. But when we think of this God as a judge, what you need to be picturing and what the original context, what the people of the day would have been thinking is someone in a courtroom. There is a courtroom. We are judging something. But God in that situation is not the judge. He's actually the defender. He's our defender. He's pleading the case on our behalf. This is what Jesus has done on the cross, right? So let's just be careful throwing around that language of judgment because actually God's heart is that if we would allow him, if everyone would allow him, that he would just defend everybody because that's why he died for us. So let's just be careful with that word. But hey, amazing. We don't need to live the old way. I love that. Thank you, Jesus. So the condensed conclusion of How to Train Your Dragon, we're almost there, is that Hiccup grows beyond all expectations of the Vikings and he shows them a new way. Like one little scrawny kid just decided, I think I'm going to do things differently and change things for generations to come. And the same can be true for you and your family. The same can be true for you. So like any great movie, there's a huge battle in the end and you have to watch it. We don't have time to watch it all this morning. So you must go watch it, the Savo. But in the throes of warfare, Hiccup is injured and he's feared dead. Everyone thinks that he's dead. But what we do know is Toothless, the dragon, has actually saved his life. And while Hiccup is unconscious and he's like in bed for days and he's healing and whatnot, the heart of Hiccup's Viking father becomes soft toward the dragons because of the way that they have saved and loved. And so we're about to see the final scene where Hiccup wakes up for the first time since his injuries. The last thing that he remembers is humans hate dragons and dragons hate humans. And this is where he wakes up. Oh, okay. We missed like the cinematic ending, but it's incredible. You can actually buy the soundtrack. Highly recommend it. So amazing. Sounds like Armadale, doesn't it? Snows 9 months of the year, hails the other three. That's what it felt like this weekend. Anyway, this week. Not really. So there's such freedom in knowing who we are, hey? and in knowing who God is, because what you know and embody regarding who you are and who God is, it will begin to transform you and the way that you are currently living. And like we saw in the transformed village of Burke just now, it will bring flourishing to those around you as well. Your learning, your growing, your bravery, it's not just for you. When you decide to do something that is not the way that your family has always done it, it's not the way that you've always coped, you are opening a way and paving a path for somebody else to see, oh, this is not impossible. If Jesus transformed them, he could transform me too. The new way is possible. It's possible. So it's not just about you, isn't it? Praise God that everything that you are going through, and maybe for you it's really hard right now, and that's okay. You need to take care of yourself. You need to allow people to love you and just move through that at your pace. But what you do need to know is that there will come a day when what you realize is that everything that I've been through, everything that you've been through, it's not just for you, it's for somebody else. It's to encourage somebody else. It's to teach somebody else. It's to show somebody else this is what God can do. This is what Jesus can do. So I wonder if you just stand and pray with me. And before you start thinking about what you're having for lunch, here's the thing. We can come into the church building as often as we like, right? But if we're not responding to God from a genuine place of humility, then we might as well just go to Aldi, you guys. Like, they have special buys. You know what I'm saying? Let's not be those people, because I think God wants more for us than that. Let's just not come in here every Sunday and not respond. So will you just like quiet your heart and just take a moment with me? Because God wants to help us and he wants to change us. And the question is not, is he with us? It's actually, will we recognize him? Will we recognize him when he's speaking to us? Will we recognize him, what he's doing here this morning? So let's just take a short moment. I just want to pray for two groups of people. First group, just like we prayed for last week, if you feel like you're stuck in an old way, you feel like you're stuck in the old way in any aspect of your life, how you cope, how you think about yourself inwardly, you're in a monologue, how you respond or react to conflict, and you're like, this old way is not working for me. This old identity where I'm working to keep up a facade that everything is okay, it's wearing me down. This isn't working for me. If you're ready to give that up and you've been thinking about following Jesus this morning, just while we're all in prayer, if you can just give me a little wave so I can pray for you. You're just ready to give up that old way. Amazing, amazing. Great decision. Anyone else? You're ready to give up an old way. I'm going to pray for you. And I also want to pray for those of us who you've been following Jesus for a while, but there are some old ways that you haven't yet left behind. And I just want to say, it's okay. There's no judgment. There's no judgment. But maybe you need some help to just let those old ways go. You can also give me a wave so I know who I'm praying for. Amazing, 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 amazing. Anyone else? Amazing. As we were praying this morning, just about this time where we might respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying, someone said to me, Carrie, I think we need to pray for people to have courage. Because it's one thing to know, yes, I want to make a change, isn't it? But sometimes we need God to help us and give us the courage to do so. And I believe that he's going to do that for us this morning. So let's take a moment in prayer together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for each person who has said, I want to walk a new way. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for each person this morning who has said, I want to follow you, Jesus. Best decision of your life. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you would lead them. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would protect them as they begin to forge a new way. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in their life. And I pray for all of us here today who have said, we know we're stuck in the old ways, but we just need courage. We just need your help, God. If that's you, you just want to lift your hands. You don't have to, but if you want to just respond in that way, just lift your hands where you are. You just need courage. God, I pray for each of us here who need that. Holy Spirit, that in this moment, with no fireworks and no earthquakes and nothing wild going on, but just in the stillness of your presence this morning, God, would you just instill in us a courage to do what you are calling us to do? Would you fill us with courage in this moment, Holy Spirit, to take the next step forward? Fill us with courage, Lord. Remove all the barriers, God. Any barriers that we've set for ourselves, any barriers that we feel like we just can't get past, Holy Spirit, it's not too hard for you. I pray that you would take them away now. And where there were once barriers, that there would be courage to follow you, Jesus, in a new way, in a real way, in every aspect, God. So thank you, Lord, for each person. I thank you that your word says that the work that you begin within us, that you will follow it through to completion. And we just thank you for that promise, Lord, that you will do that this week and in the coming weeks. God, help us to be people who we don't stop following you. We don't just press pause on it and go and do other things. Jesus, let us be people who follow you fully. Help us, God. Lead us, God. Let us become aware of your presence, God, in our lives each day. That we would not just walk out these doors this morning and leave this experience behind, but Jesus, that you would help us to follow you with everything. Thank you, God. You are so kind. Thank you, Lord. We say yes and amen to all of these things. Amen. Amen.